Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are getting started a little late here. I think I already lost one listener because of it. We had a little technical difficulty. Hi, Gemini. I'm glad you're with us. In any case, these weird things happen sometimes. I thought I would start with talking about the creational natural laws a little bit. The Meyer material talks about the creational natural law of love being the primary law. You could think of these as universal laws. The second is evolutive striving, which has to do with us trying to continue to improve ourselves in terms of our consciousness. Another law is the law of being, or the law of harmony, which says that we have to be balanced between neutral, the neutral, and the positive. So there's a law called love, and it deals with effective love or wisdom conditioned love, which is a love that's stable and based on observation and veneration. Then there's a creational natural law that has to do with evolutive striving, which means we are compelled by nature to improve our understanding of things and to continue to improve ourselves and to evolve. That's the whole impulse to evolve. Then the other law, again, is a law related to our thinking, which is the law of harmony, which we need to be in our thinking balanced between the neutral and the negative and the positive, or be neutral. So creation is what they call the universal consciousness. It's not a person, and therefore it's not a God. Now, one of the differences between creation and God, the idea of God, is God is said to be perfect, he's said to be immutable, and omniscient. Now, the Meyer material says our universe is evolving, and it has an intelligence behind it, and that intelligence is also evolving. And as it says in the teachings of Emmanuel, that creation is not perfect. And I apologize for those that were listening to the show and there was no sound. I was having a little technical difficulty. So if you can bear with me a little bit tonight, I'm going to hit you guys with both barrels. And if some of it may sound blasphemous to you, or it may go against your religious teaching, but let me just get this information out to you, and then you can decide what you want to do with it. So there is a superintelligence which created all things. It's evolving, it's learning, and it creates human beings as to help it with its own evolution. And we all have something called the spirit form. The spirit form is located in what's called the superior colliculus, which is area of our middle brain. And it comes in 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. And you could think of it as a little fragment of this universal consciousness. And it's a neutral positive energy within us. Everything related to creation is neutral positive. It's balanced. The spirit form, again, comes into the body of the child at 21 days of age, and it starts the heart to beat. Now, the spirit form is very interesting. That's where your spiritual consciousness is. And it's the part of you that never dies. The spirit form has a controlling factor within it called the Gemut. The Gemut controls what's called the spirit consciousness-based feelings and spirit consciousness-based thoughts. The Gemut controls the thoughts and the feelings of your spirit form. Your spirit form, if you're a normal human being on Earth, is about 5 million years old, 4 to 5 million years old. And you've had previous lifetimes, you've had previous personalities. So the Gemut, this controlling factor in your spirit form, it cannot be influenced by negative powers. It's invulnerable to anything harmful in the material realm. Now you have what's called a material consciousness as well. Now that's your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind, your personality. Now that is vulnerable, and that can be affected by negative powers. But the Gemut of the spirit realm cannot be influenced by negative powers. It cannot have negative thoughts. It can only have neutral, positive thoughts. And these are thoughts that are balanced between the negative and the positive. And this balance between the negative and the positive is called equalized harmony. Now, there's something very amazing about this thing called the Gemut. And it is able to harness something in nature called the swinging wave. And this swinging wave is something that comes from the electromagnetic realm of life. And it can have tremendous power. Now, in the ancient past, there were human beings here on the earth that came here from other worlds. And they had the ability to harness the power of this, what's called the swinging wave. Now, we do as well. It's a dormant ability in Earth humans because we're currently not at a high enough evolutionary level to use it purposely, on purpose. I think sometimes accidentally we do use it. For example, it's not just adrenaline that allows the mother to lift the car off of her child, but it's called the swinging wave, the Gemut, in your spiritual consciousness that harnesses the power of this electromagnetic realm of life and sends it over to what's called your psyche. So your spiritual consciousness, in any case, operates only in what's called equalizedness. It's always in harmony. So the Gemut has no direct connection with your material body. So anyway, that's one thing to keep in mind. The Meyer material and the spiritual teaching says we have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. The spiritual consciousness will exist basically infinitely. Now you have a material consciousness that's the mind that you're using for this lifetime. I know that's very controversial information, but that's what the Meyer material says. Anyway, now, again, I didn't really talk much about the psyche. The psyche regulates and looks after what's called the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. But it also looks over the material consciousness-based feelings. And we have feelings which come from what's called the half-material psyche. And we here on Earth are capable of many feelings that we're not we don't understand yet. Feeling comes from thoughts. Thoughts cause feelings. Now, there's a difference between feeling and emotion. Emotion is something that erupts almost out of control instantly. And that's when you go, what's called, you go out of control of what the Meyer material calls the good human nature. And that unfortunate process is called Erschütterung in the German. So we need to be aware that when we're becoming highly emotional about something, that we are not in this neutral, positive, balanced state of thinking, which is the creational natural law of harmony. That is the third creational natural law, this harmony that should exist. So an outburst, an emotive act, is typically only of a short duration and only lasts seconds and or a few minutes, and we can go into kind of a rage state. But feelings come from thoughts, and we shouldn't be suppressing feelings. We should allow these feeling impulsations to grow. Feelings are impulsations which also originate from sensual physical impulses and also from instinct forms, conditions of your personality. Feelings can be also can be primal, but they can be traced back to your psychic consciousness base as well as environmental things. So we have the feeling, which grows out of the thoughts, and we have the emotion, which erupts suddenly. So we need to try to not let those emotions rule us, to recognize, to develop this awareness of when we're not in the harmonious state. The Meyer material refers to something called the Empfinding block. And this Empfinding block is part of the spiritual consciousness that allows us to sense what's called the radiating love of creation. Now, this universal consciousness, this intelligence that created our universe, it radiates love. And this love is an effective love, and it's a neutral positive love. It is described this way in the Meyer writings. It says, "The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation." And creation radiates love so that every day, in every place, you can sense the radiating love of creation. Now, the Meyer material uses the word Emmanuel for the person that most people would call Jesus Christ. And they have a different take on this whole thing that happened in 2,000 years ago. So again, bear with me. Some of this might go against your grain. Just try to hang in there. This teacher, Emmanuel, who, by the way, was talked about in the book of Isaiah, where he was called Emmanuel. Religion today says Emmanuel was a title. Well, the Meyer material says that was his name, not just a title, but we'll continue. And Emmanuel said, "Creation stands above humanity and everything, and but it appears to be perfect by human comprehension, but it is not so." In other words, this superintelligence is learning. And one of the, and this is also another way that the Meyer material thinks about creation. It, when it talks about creation, it is not only talking about the intelligence and the power behind the physical structure, but is also talking about the physical creation, the universe itself. And I'll try to get back to that later. But the creation is a neutral, positive spirit. It is really not a heavenly father. It radiates love. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. Creation is said to be one within itself. There's something called the oneness of the universe. And let me read something here from one of Billy's articles. The whole universe is a oneness which flows through all things, all existence and all life. In this oneness, the human being has distinct needs and is also integrated. Whereupon this universal oneness responds when we bring words to expression. It responds to the neutral positive thoughts and feelings that we have. So when you have these correct thinking, you kind of, it's hard to put into words. The oneness of the universe helps your life. I'll put it that way, and we'll try to come back to that and define that a little bit better. So every person has this human spirit. It's located in an area of your middle brain called the superior colliculus. And it comes in 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. And it brings with it a new personality for the new current, new life. But it stores within your subconsciousness the memories of your previous lives, which we can't really access at this point in our existence. Now, in this passage I was about to read, it talks about new spirit forms. Occasionally, a new spirit form will enter into the body. So let me read this. It says, but since it is one within itself, it can perfect itself by way of its own creations. And that's what this universal consciousness does. It perfects itself through its creations, through the generation of new spirit forms that dwell in humans, give them life, and evolve towards perfection through learning. So that's what the Meyer material is telling us. We evolve to perfection through learning. This does not take place with one lifetime. The newly generated spirit is a part of creation itself. Now, we're talking about a brand new spirit form here. However, it is unknowing down to the smallest iota. So when a new spirit form comes into the human body, it's completely unknowing. And people will often think of this person as it grows up as being stupid or confused, but it could just be a brand new spirit. But after we have more and more lives, so after many renewed lives, the time comes when people say this spirit is normal and not confused. And eventually, thus the human spirit perfects itself so extensively that it unfolds in a creational manner. So it's unfolding and it becomes wise and it becomes knowing. So we're talking about creational natural laws. I talked about the law of love, effective love, wisdom-conditioned love. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. We talked about the law of striving, evolutive striving. The purpose of our life is to continue this striving to evolve ourselves, evolve our thinking, evolve our feelings, evolve our consciousness, evolve our awareness. We also talked about the creational natural law of harmony, learning to balance our thinking so that it's neutral, positive. The other creational natural law that I started to talk about was the law of reincarnation. Now, not only do humans reincarnate, but the spirit forms in plants the spirit forms in animals also reincarnate. There's this beautiful passage in one of Billy's books called The Goblet of Truth, and it's entitled What the Truth Knows to Say. And it says, bushes, trees, rocks, plants, animals, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time, which involve many, many lifetimes. And death is just the passage to rebirth into the world of pure spirit. And many of these creatures are aware of each other, and they're connected by the swinging wave that I talked about earlier. If you go into the forest and you see the birds fly as a unit and change direction instantly all together and all land in a tree all at once, it's because they're connected by the swinging wave. And if you open up your mind's eye, you can experience your connection to all living things through what's called the Schwingung wave in the German, Schwingung. It is this power from the electromagnetic realm of life. And it will bring with it, once you connect to this, a kind of happiness and a kind of joy and a kind of peace, because you will recognize your connectedness to all things. So this is what the Meyer material has to say about these creational natural laws. And I want to read a few things from what's called Love Letter 27. It's one of the spiritual teachings about love. The love concept, it can be seen as being affective, which is romantic love, which is actually a false love, or it can be what's called an effective love. Affective refers to the romantic style of love. It is very transient. It doesn't last long. It changes constantly. We're so obsessed with romantic love. It's to our detriment, but we do. It's transient. The effective love is the love that creation is. You notice I said is. It is the love that creation is. Love will continually be the purpose for our existence. Love and wisdom go together. The creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. The effective love is the love that creation is. And that we also can sense and perceive. You can sense and perceive the radiating love of creation. You have within your spiritual consciousness something called the Empfinden block, which has the ability to sense the radiating love of creation. But you have to get to a point where you have enough observational skills to be able to do that. Now, love is so important. Without love, no life would be able to exist. Love is the highest principle in creation, and everything follows that principle with absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. True love is true being, and it is the everlasting warmth from the center of creation, which is described as true existence. True existence is creation. Again, love is the highest principle in creation, and everything exists in this absolute logic. Now, without the love of creation, nothing would be able to exist. So we have to remember that we exist only because of the love of creation. And creation created everything in love and logic. Well, how did it use logic? Well, what it uses is these repeating patterns. Have you ever seen pictures of the Earth from orbit? Have you ever seen a river's branching structure? Well, that branching structure is one of the repeating patterns of nature. Nature has these repeating patterns. The branching structure of the river is also found in our circulatory system. We have veins that branch out, capillaries that branch out. If you look at the trees, they have a branching structure. And there's a repeating pattern in how branches grow. You see, this is one intelligence that is creating all this. All of nature is being pushed, created by this single intelligence. And you can see its stamp. We see the rotating arms of the spiral galaxy. We see the rotating arms of our DNA. You see the spiral of the seashell, the spiral that forms in the river as it flows. If it's a natural river, you will have these whirlpools, these spirals that form. See, these are all the repeating patterns of nature. Even if living in this world often seems to consist of conflict and drudgery, the fact remains that the love of creation motivated everything, motivates everything. And life, it often becomes a heavy and a tough battle because we somehow shut off our sensitivity to the radiating love of creation. And I'd like to briefly do a segue into another concept here, and it's the concept of overpopulation, because we're destroying creation. There's a very fine balance that has to exist on a planet. And this planet should have these gigantic forests which are completely unharmed. If you would go back to the 1300s, that would be the state that the Earth should be in. We would have about 1 billion people, maybe 500 million, somewhere between there. And we would not have the gigantic overpopulation problem that we have. We have about 9,000 newborns per hour on the Earth. That's over the number of deaths. Bangladesh is an example of an extremely overpopulated country. It's about the size of Iowa. It has 140 to 160 million people. We have 77 million people. Our world population increases by 77 million people a year. Now, to try to understand how much that is, that's like adding 4 or 5 New York cities to the Earth every year. That is what we're doing. So we're upsetting, we're already out of balance with nature. People can live in an urban environment and never come up against nature. Never experience this radiating love. You're not going to really experience this radiating love within an urban environment. Very, very difficult to experience this radiating love. Let me talk for a second about the spirit realm and what the Meyer material has to say about the spirit realm. Because this side and the other side, meaning the spirit realm, occupy the same space, but they're separated by 2 dimensions. We are in the visible, palpable material plane, but there's an invisible and impalpable spiritual plane. Therefore, there are these 2 different dimensions. And when your body dies, the spirit form, leaves the body and goes into the spiritual realm, it brings the material consciousness with it. And it processes something called the consciousness block, processes the experience from the previous life. In other words, in the spiritual realm, the spirit form is absorbing the accumulated knowledge from its previous life. So that is the point of death. We have to take time for the spirit form to really absorb these experiences that occurred in its life. Now, one of the bad things that occurs in overpopulation is that spirit forms do not get to spend enough time in the spiritual realm, processing and absorbing all the accumulated knowledge from previous life. Because of that, they're pulled in too soon into another body for another lifetime. The manifestation of this problem is a problem in developing independence at the right time. People have a harder and harder time. The younger generation has a harder and harder time, subsequent generations, for developing independence from their parents, and also it's difficult to develop the male personality correctly if the spirit form comes in too soon. Any case, we have what's called the consciousness block, the overall consciousness block, which plays a role in processing these previous lives. The what you learned in terms of knowledge, wisdom, logic, discernment is processed down into its neutral positive essence and then absorbed by the spirit form and strengthened by the spirit form. So in any case, we get a new personality when we reincarnate. So in a sense, you're kind of a new person. The spiritual consciousness is what's the same. Now, I want to talk quickly a little bit about evolution, because there are different kinds of evolution. There's the creation evolution. Boy, there you could spend a whole show on trying to understand that. I can give you a very, very brief overview of creation's evolution. Creation has an expansion phase. Our universe has an expansion phase and a contraction phase. And I'm thinking it's something like 155 trillion years that our universe will expand. And then it starts to contract and it collapses on itself again after that. The Meyer material says our universe is about 46 trillion years old. Now, this is such a big number, it's really hard to wrap your mind around that. That our what's called the DERN universe, our universe, is 46 trillion years old, and it will expand up to 155 trillion years from now, and then through contraction start to collapse on itself again. Now, that expansion and contraction phase is one step in the evolution of the universe in creation. So I just wanted to throw that out as an example of what creation evolution is. Now we have what's called consciousness evolution. The human life form is the only being that evolves by means of what's called consciousness evolution. Our conscious is evolving. That's different than intelligence evolution. It's something higher than that. Even your plants, I mean your animals, your higher species of animals have what's called intelligence evolution as well. Apes, dolphins, horses, pigs, goats, parrots, your dogs and cats, all these kinds of animals have what's called intelligence evolution, as well as instinct evolution. Now, the plants have something interesting called impulse evolution. So plants evolve as well. And one of the things that I recommend people do is spend time going to the forest and try to find a healthy forest nearby you and take a look at the plants, because every single plant has a spirit form. And you know, in one summer, certain plants can grow 6-7 feet tall. So that spirit form, think of that spirit form coming out of the spirit realm. It's probably within the seed of that plant and sprouting. And the energy of that spirit form is what's causing this incredible growth rate in that plant. You know, some of these plants grow. I have right here, and you know, I'm next to a forest right here. And when I'm out in the forest, there's always certain areas where I look at these plants that are taller than I am, and they weren't there in the winter. So they grew taller than me in one summer, which I find amazing, that the way nature works. And think of those spirit forms inside the plant. Now, I want to talk a little bit, and I'm going a little slightly off topic here. There's something called the Ishwish, the King of Wisdom, the J-H-W-H, Ishwish, as it's called. This is ancient Lyrian for King of Wisdom. The Meyer material says, oh, I think it was nearly right around 300,000 years ago, there was an extraterrestrial group of humans who came here called the Lyrians. And I think of them as titans. They were very tall, very people, you know, at the fifth stage of evolution. They were traveling around the universe in these ships. They were colonizing worlds. They still had issues. They weren't perfect. They were still a little warlike at times. Sometimes they would conquer people. But they were on the earth hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, the naturally developing earth humans at this time were way behind these kings of wisdom. So, unfortunately, they started to call them gods or gods at times. Now, the ancient title of Ishwish is millions of years old, and it's a title that was brought to our ancient Lyranic ancestors, to Earth. Now, the Hebrews, they took this term, King of Wisdom, or J-H-W-H, and they kind of created this notion of it being the unutterable name of God. And so that, in the Meyer material, tells us that's how we got terms like Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh, and they were all related to this ancient Lyrian term. Again, I know this is very controversial, but stay with me. These Ishwishes that were on the earth, some of them were spiritual and very benevolent. Some of them weren't. There were particularly a group on the earth called the Giza Intelligences that had some kings of wisdom that were not studiers of all of nature. They didn't take in the spiritual teachings. They didn't study nature in a balanced way. They sometimes were scientists, and they often lusted for power, and they were abusive, and they set up a kind of a headquarters underneath the Great Pyramid of Giza. and maybe we'll circle around and talk about them a little bit, but I'm going to just kind of skim over that for now. But these Ishwishes, they were of a different nature in their perception. They were very perceptive, and they were had great sensitivity to certain things, like vibrations. You know, when you start to develop the ability to sense the radiating love of creation, it comes through an openness to these vibrations. Well, Earth humans emitted a vibration of ignorance that was very dangerous to these higher evolved beings because they're so sensitive in their perceiving. And they are susceptible to these evil and negative vibrations that we still give off here on the earth. And this is one of the reasons why we do not have open contact right now, is that we're still not in a high enough level of evolution. So even when these Giza intelligences were on the earth, they would only interact with humanity on a physical level for a very, very short period of time. The Plarion talk about they have a kind of technology that protects them from these vibrations, these wrong thinking that we have here on the earth. And what I'm going over in the spiritual teachings is how to have right thinking. So we start to flow with all of the energies of nature and with creation. Askett, who was Billy's second contact, talked about Earth humanity as achieving a high standard of technical evolution in some ways. However, we only have a purely what's called material understanding. And our evolution in terms of our spirit and our consciousness is said to be very disadvantaged and very neglected and displaced. And there's one of the Meyer writings, and I think it's Contact Report, is it 260, which it has repeated passages in it which talk about the prophet of the new time. When the prophet of the new time comes, the people of the earth will be in love with money. And then it will go on a passage talking about our love of money. And it'll say, when the prophet of the new time comes, the people on the earth will be in love with pleasure. And it'll go and describe that. So all of these wrong things that we're involved in are because of our wrong thinking. So at the root of all of this is our wrong thinking. So let me continue with another one of Billy's books here called the OM, the Omphalon Mirado, and what's called Nature's Life's Navel, the Navel of Life in ancient Lyrian. And it talks about creation growing mighty and powerful and expanding and stretching itself. It says, with its power, it changed its thoughts and its idea into becoming. So it created space and it created time and it created our universe. And the universe was filled with this spirit power energy, this power of expanding creation. The creation then, all of nature and its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. And the laws of creation are so wonderfully arranged that we come up against its radiating love. However, like I said, if you haven't opened your senses, you will not be able to experience this radiating love of creation. So anyway, that is a very quick and brief overview of some of the concepts described in the Meyer material related to love, related to the creational natural laws. Now, creation has formed and arranged everything so wonderfully so that we can recognize the majestic love of creation at every moment and in every place. But it's much easier to recognize that when you're in nature. And if we contemplate nature, we can feel and find in the love of creation. And you can start to also feel your own love. But that's hard to do if for many years you have not thought in this way. The love of creation is primarily sensed through thinking and feeling. You can stand and study nature. You can stand and study a tree. And you can be fully aware that this tree is the product of the love of creation. Because these forces of nature enable the tree to grow and to flourish. But this idea of appreciating nature today is something that people sometimes do not have anymore. We actually have a bond with all life, all of nature, whether it's a blade of grass, a bird, a shrub, or some other living creature. Because these creatures, there is an imperfection to creation. You can see that one animal has to kill another sometimes to live. But there's really typically no maliciousness there. Even if they toy with their prey, underlying all of creation is this motivation of oneness, which will manifest itself in love. But creation is not perfect, and the imperfections of creation are seen at times, like one animal killing another in order to live. But the underlying love of creation, every bird, every blade of grass, a shrub, and every living creature, they're driven by this same love. And the love drives us to fulfill our purpose in creation's plan. So we humans, as the highest form of life on the planet, should also be driven by this love. Because we carry within us this fragment of creation, this human spirit, in our superior colliculus, in our middle brain. It is the part of us that never dies. And this power we are able to evoke in ourselves. So our goal should be able to learn to perceive and feel this love of creation. And this is what's called wisdom conditioned love. Let me read what Billy has said here about love. He says, so fine, thus satisfying and energizing, it permeates the whole person. And once extensively making progress, the person will take it on willingly to work on himself, namely to maintain this love, to extend and to nurture it for himself, but also for creation. So when you're nurturing the love within yourself, it positively affects creation. When you gather wisdom, wisdom is a kind of energy, a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And wisdom and love go together. So when you are extending and nurturing this love, you're helping creation itself. Love is described as an immense power which never slept, and it has been active since ancient times. It is immeasurably abundant, and love is extremely logical. Love is said to flourish splendidly in all beings, in all animals, and flowers in the fields, and humans. It permeates the world. Love is the purpose of our existence. And there are, the Goblet of Truth talks about we human beings, this Goblet of Truth is one of Billy's writings, that we human beings are a part of the universe that has eternal laws and recommendations. And if we start to recognize our life purpose and life sense and bring it into relationship with your own existence at every hour and every day and all times, then you will unavoidably recognize yourself and be the Lord and Master over yourself. Now, for me, when this started to happen was when I started to understand what's called the law of striving, which is the law of evolution, the law of striving. And that's when you start to rearrange your priorities in life. So let me see. There's Billy has a great book here that's called The Way to Live, Die Art zu Leben, in the German. And if you've never read one of Billy's books, it has German on one page and English on the next, if you get one of his English translations. Let me read this paragraph here. The human being wants to fathom, research, and recognize all his knowledge and all his cognitions and insights from the deepest part of his or her inner self, precisely according to the creational law, being that ultimately all knowledge, recognition, understanding, and grasping and the experience for all things arise and can only arise out of the deepest depths of the human consciousness and therefore the innermost part of the human himself. So this law of striving comes out of the innermost part of the human itself. And we're in an age now when humanity is going to be continue to be motivated by evolutive striving. Let me continue here. It says, we're in, you know how I was quoting, when the prophet of the new time comes? Well, we're in the new time. It's going to last. We have a transition period that lasts about 8 centuries. Not good news, but we're in the new time. And the current time is the time when the human being has newly discovered the ur-creational law of evolutive striving. That's your drive to improve yourself. Totally throw yourself into your work. That's my best advice to you. It will help all aspects of your life, of your help, of your health, of your happiness. The age of Aquarius itself pushes forward with horrendous power and spurs on the striving of the human being. It is the time of the upthrusting truth, which demands intelligence, reason, logic, knowledge, and progress. People, and I know this goes against the grain of religion, people do not want to believe any longer. They do not want to have assumptions any longer. They solely want to know. And the Meyer material will give you knowledge. You will know. We will no longer be satisfied with this weaker kind of knowledge. We are coming into an age where there's a different kind of knowing. And it comes from the human being's sense of life. You see, our sense of life is for striving for that which is higher. Striving. The human being's evolutive striving for that which is higher will help us to start to see the all-embracing love of creations. Now, Billy had a very controversial interview in 2011, and it has said some things that will probably upset some people. One of the questions he was asked, and I know we're running out of time here, was, can a human being have two spirit forms? And Billy says, no, this is absolutely impossible. Only one spirit form can be in a human being. And if something else occurs, then he says it's a disorder of the consciousness, which brings forth different personalities. He says, for example, if a person has 20 or 30 personalities, this is a matter of the consciousness of the human being. It's a matter of schizophrenia. It's a split of the personality. He says it's impossible to have two spirit forms existing simultaneously in the human being, unless there are two heads, as there are kinds occasionally in Siamese twins. Billy says this whole idea of all these evil spirits coming into people and people getting exorcised, he says this is all plain nonsense. He says spirit forms are neutral. So, boy, does this go against religions. He says, no evil spirit, he says, which does not exist anyway, because each spirit is absolutely neutral. Thus, no spirit form can be in a human being except his own. And Billy claims there is no devil in that sense. So anyway, there are many controversial aspects in the Meyer material. The concept of the devil came from the god of the hunt, which we can talk about, who had two horn-like growths out of his skull. His name was Tubal. We can talk about that sometime later. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Thanks for coming to the show. We'll see you next time. Good night.